It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
KJ and Lyons hanging out, WEEI 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We are in hour three, and we thank you so much for being here. John, I might as well toot our own horn for some compelling radio that I don't think has ever been done before since Marconi said, "Hello, Watson, are you there?" Or was that Edison?
And I wasn't around, so...
Neither was I. What are you saying? I was not around when Watson, I need you. That was Edison. So, but in the history of this broadcast medium, maybe since Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, where people actually listened to the radio and thought aliens were invading southern New Jersey. And I would say, if you've ever been around Atlantic City and seen the people who live down there, there were some aliens there.
Wouldn't the UFO have a better place to go?
Well, no, there's a lot of space to land. There's a beach there. Philadelphia's not far. You know,
go to Nevada, you know?
No, but you scare more people on the East Coast. You go to Nevada, you might get eaten up by coyotes. But if you missed Autopsy, I mean, it even had its own intro. Hit it, Zach.
Craig Breslow completed his first year. Alex Cora signed a new deal with the team. But something didn't seem to click in a season of a lot of lows and very little highs. Autopsy, the final hours of the Red Sox, continues right now with Dr. John Lyons and fake Dr. KJ Carson on WEEI.
You hired the voice guy to say that I was a fake doctor.
For full disclosure, you hired the voice guy. I don't even know who the voice guy is.
Okay, you can kill the that's, if you missed it, the Odyssey app is free. Go to yesterday's show, KJ and Lyons. I think part one of what it was a live action true crime sports podcast that did not have the names Hernandez or OJ in it.
Which
is very hard to do. And we literally examined the body of the Red Sox and the head, the leadership as well, to determine what happened to the patient. I even got caught smoking in the autopsy room, but that's okay. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all legal, right? But here we are, John, the day after this, which should be an award-winning podcast, that was a live broadcast. The Royals and the Tigers are advancing in the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yep.
And these are the two other teams we referenced the most in the autopsy analysis of what were the Red Sox not doing that the Royals, or more so the Tigers, were doing. And now here we are, the Tigers beat Houston two straight, Royals beat the Orioles two straight in Baltimore. Tell me you're not sick to your stomach if you're Red Sox.
Oh, I am. And I don't really love the wild card series playoff format, to be honest, full disclosure. But yeah,
what do you think it should be?
I think I like the previous system where you had that one game playoff and you went to the DS. Yeah, I think too many teams make it now, like teams that don't deserve it. But look, credit to the Tigers who traded Jack Flaherty and who were 11 games out, whatever it was in August. They battled all the way through. And also the Royals. Like, they lost 106 games last year. And what did they do? Well, they made some investments this offseason. They signed Seth Lugo,
yeah.
Extended Bobby Witt, signed some other, right? And all of a sudden, by the way, Seth Lugo, a guy the Red Sox could have afforded. We talked about him last night. So,
you know what I think that's why the Royals make that move? And this may sound crazy, but I've lived in Kansas City, so I kind of have an idea. Is because the Chiefs are on top of the football world. They want as many people to use those facilities when their Chiefs only have a game one day a week. So if you don't know.
I think there's something to that. Like back in the day here when the Patriots were good, it felt like it pushed the Red Sox to be better and pushed the Celtics. Like, I think there is something
like
to that.
Like a full-fledged entertainment for the people versus, because where, like, I'm full disclosure, where it's located, you're like, oh my gosh. Should I lock my doors once I go get gas? You know, because it's like in a seedy area over there, right? It's just kind of like a place where time is kind of forgotten. So if you want people to come over there to Kauffman Stadium and to Arrowhead Stadium, just coming on Sundays is just one thing. But if you can get them to come 2-3 nights out of the week, now there's a reason to keep the lights on in both stadiums. So that's what kind of scares me in that regard, because if we're saying that, who do the I mean, you can't feed off the Patriots.
And I think, too, like when you look at the Royals, right? So they're going to go to the ALDS. The Tigers are. Last year we saw the Diamondbacks upset the Phillies in the NLCS.
Right.
I think, and again, I don't love this new playoff format, but I think if you're the Red Sox, like if you could have just got in, like the Red Sox were capable of going to Baltimore winning a couple games. Right, they're capable of going to Houston.
No, let's be honest, they would have been the sixth seed. So could they go to Houston and win a couple?
A Houston team without Yordan Alvarez? Like, again, I think Houston's better than them, but without Yordan Alvarez, maybe they would have had a shot to do it. But what did Detroit have that the Red Sox didn't? They had that ace at the top of the rotation. Well, yeah, that too. But they had that ace at the top of the rotation in Skubal, who won you a game in this abbreviated series, right? So I think it's a lesson for the Red Sox in that. And Alex Cora said they blew it down the stretch. Now it looks even worse because both teams that got in over you are now advancing to the ALDS.
That's why you should listen to Autopsy, the final hours of the Red Sox by KJ and Lyons. It's fascinating. It's got sound bites. It takes you back through the season of some key things that are said. I mean, honestly, like who do we submit it to for some type of award?
I feel like you're the award winner, so I feel you would probably know people in the award space, right?
Yes, but you
won a couple Emmys or something.
I was nominated for an Emmy as a video editor
college. You should have won it.
Well, it was a great program. It was when Eddie Robinson, the late Eddie Robinson, was about to break Bear Bryant's record. I was a sophomore in college, and I was a video editor for an ESPN show. At the time, they would contract out shows for a show called Black College Sports Today. That was hosted by Robin Roberts, who was still at ESPN at the time. And then my mentor was like the field guy, and I was the immediate editor before it went to post. There's a little bit of my resume right there.
Yeah, you should have won the Emmy.
Well, I forgot who we lost to.
Well,
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Great story.
You should have won the Emmy.
But it being nominated is enough, but I think Autopsy is something worth listening to. It's like you don't even have to go to the podcast section. You could just go to the listen to this show from the previous day. What are we doing at like 8 o'clock yesterday?
Yeah, and I'm going to be putting something on the website about it too. So,
that's how it wins, because when it has words, storytelling, and a little bit of music to it, not like obnoxious parody music, but like, didn't you feel like we were really over a body when you, like Zach, when you just heard that piece there, didn't you feel like, oh my God, they're really looking at a dead body?
Yeah, felt like I was right in the room.
Yeah.
Put that out, Zach, while we're over the body, by the way. So, yeah, so I think it's one of those situations where, okay, you see a couple of teams where you were right in that same neck with them. Their talent isn't so much greater than what you have, and you still couldn't get it done. Like the Red Sox, and this was mentioned in Autopsy, at one point, 10 games over 500. If they were 10 games over 500 in the last week of the season, it would have been a one-game situation between them and getting one of the two wild card spots.
Yeah, and by the way, I believe last night the Padres, Michael King pitched a great game for them, and tonight they have Dylan Cease going, another guy the Red Sox could have traded for and chose not to.
And they also could have, Dylan Cease could have said no. I think.
Oh, they have Musgrove tonight? Sorry about that. They're saying Musgrove, but they have Cease on the roster, and he's been great for them and obviously will pitch going forward.
Now, here's
he'd be
the
going
really,
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay, yeah.
Yes, here's the really jealous part when I was watching the Tigers game earlier today. They had 11 pitchers on the roster, and only had used 5 going into the second game around the 6th inning. They only used 5 pitchers. The Red Sox, they could use 5. They would use 5 pitchers sometimes in one game.
And I think that speaks to like having a guy like Skubal who actually will go deep in games, and the Tigers aren't afraid to leave him there. I mean, well,
and I think
also,
they only used him for 6 yesterday.
On a side note, I mean, we saw what happened to the Brewers yesterday. They had their ace in. He throws 4 innings, gives up 2 hits, and they pull him, and then they lose. Like, you deserve to lose if you do that. And it feels like that's something the Red Sox probably would have done too.
But see, that's what I like about this new wild card format. There is an urgency, I think, in this 3-game series. Plus, I think with that one game, you want to at least have the lower seed at least have one home game available to them. It's usually like, hey, this is your chance. Because if you get to the home game, then it means If you win the entire series. If you lose, you go home. But at least you're playing at home. The one thing
I think
don't
wild cards, isn't it all at the upper seeds place? They don't go at home.
They don't travel at all.
It's only three games, so it's just first to two.
Well, they should change that. And the other thing they should probably change is if the lowest seed should then play the highest seed. So I think it really should be the Tigers versus the Yankees versus.
Oh, I agree. I don't like that they do the
bracket.
That's
what
thing.
I don't like the most.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's something too. Like the NBA, and I think the NHL has gone to that. I hate that. Yeah. Like, it should be the highest seed should play the lower seed. Like, there's a reason you work your butt off all year to get the highest seed. It's to get home field in the playoffs, but also the most favorable matchup. Like, you should be able to play the lowest seed. The NHL's been doing that for like 10 years. I think it's so stupid. And the MLB's doing it now. And I think, I might be wrong on this, I think the NBA does the high seed, low seed.
They do high seed, low seed.
The right way to do it. Same with the NFL. Like, that's the way it should be.
Well, because here's what your matchup would be on the AL side. You would have the Yankees versus the Tigers. And I would like, ooh, that would be so intriguing. And the Royals versus the Guardians, which would be so intriguing. Right? So, but now when you have the Guardians and the Tigers, I almost kind of give the edge to the Tigers. But then it feels like the lamb is heading to slaughter with the Royals up against the Yankees. It just kind of feels that way.
Yeah, and I just think it's, again, you work all year for that advantage.
Right.
So you should get, like, even if you look at the NL side, we'll see what happens in these other games today. But if the Mets win as the sixth seed, it's early now. They're up 3-1, but it's early. But if they win, like, to me, they should have to go play the Dodgers.
All right,
the lowest seed.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're 30 minutes away from, are they spicy hot or pumpkin spice soft? Plus Belichick and his next coaching moves. There's a benching potentially on the way for the Patriots. Hang out. But right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins got the win in preseason action last night, 4-1, your final over the Flyers. Bruins captain Brad Marchand left last night's game with an illness. They'll head to Quebec City next to take on the Kings in the penultimate preseason game before heading down to Florida on Tuesday for the regular season opener against the Panthers. In other Bruins news, they've claimed goaltender Jiří Patera off waivers. The 24-year-old netminder spent the last 2 years in Vegas. And an update on the Jeremy Swayman contract stalemate. Elliot Friedman saying on his 32 Thoughts that the team has offered the $8 by $8 million deal that Cam Neely alluded to in the other day's press conference, but Swayman seems set on a deal in the high $8 to $9 million range average annual value. Patriots back on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup at Gillette with the Dolphins. Among those on the field were wide receiver Kendrick Bourne, who is working his way back from a torn ACL suffered last year. Pats head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media today saying that Antonio Gibson may get the start on Sunday after Ramondre Stevenson has fumbled in each of the team's first four games, and that starting center David Andrews will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery and will be placed on IR. Playoff baseball underway. Detroit Tigers completing a two-game sweep of the Houston Astros. They'll move on to face off with the Cleveland Guardians. The Orioles also got eliminated by the Royals in two games. They'll move on to face the Yankees. Mets and Brewers underway. Currently the score is 3-1 Mets. And finally, the Padres will look to eliminate the Braves. First pitch coming up in about 20 minutes in San Diego. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
K Gain Lines, WEEI. Good evening, and thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's Gerard Mayo pretty much stating that there's a chance that Ramondre Stevenson will not be the starter because of his ball carry issues. And John, listen to this in terms of what Miami and how they rank against the run. 25th in attempts. So people are running the ball all over them. Yards, 16th. Touchdowns, 29th. Their defense against the run is horrible. So he wants to avoid the scenario of a bad run defense having a good day because someone can't handle the ball.
And look, I understand that Stevenson's their best player and they need him on the field, but like, when you fumble four times in four games, man, like, there's good. I don't know how you can just keep him on the field.
Even four times in half of a season would be a lot.
Yeah, hey, for sure. I mean, I think Gibson fumbled last year four times in the entire season. So, look, four times in four games, you lost two of them, the two fumbles, I should say, and they were big points in those two games. So I just, again, I'm not one of those people that says you have to go the full Bill Belichick route where he didn't play DeMario Douglas for like 4 weeks last year after one fumble.
Right.
But I think, look, when you have
three weeks for Stevenson when he fumbled that first week
when you have four fumbles in four games, like, that's a problem. And I think even if you just give Stevenson time to figure out what the problem is, right? Like, is it a focus issue? Is it an injury issue? Is it some other issue? I have no idea, but give him some time to figure out what that is.
Yeah, the term error repeater has been part of the culture, and you've even heard Mayo mention it again. I think what makes this even worse is because this is what Stevenson went through when he first got into the league. And if this is happening now, well, there were no issues after that. There were no issues the following season, and now here you are. You've got the contract. You are the guy. Really, you feel like if we can't run things through you, we don't know how we would really be able to operate. That's what we even talked about with Alex Van Pelt coming. It's like, okay, if this could be his first time calling plays, at least he knows what it's like calling Nick Chubb's number a lot. Right? So, but now if the guy's number you're supposed to call a lot is fumbling a lot, like, where does the, like, even, I'm like, you would even say that Gibson is not your in-between tackles runner.
No, and he did have that 45-yard run against Seattle, which technically was in between the tackles. But I agree with you, KJ. Like, that's not the guy you're looking at to pound the ball inside a bunch of times.
And yak and all that, yards after contact and stuff like
that. Right, which, by the way, that's been something that Stevenson has done well, because this offensive line has not really run blocked that well, and Stevenson's gained a lot of yards after contact. I don't know if Gibson – look, I think they should use Gibson more anyway, but I don't think he's – I agree with you. I don't think he's that guy. So it puts you in a tough spot because Stevenson is by far your best offensive player. He's the type of guy that you really don't have many of. So what do? Do you have Kevin Harris take extra carries? Is it Jamichael Hasty? Who, I'm not trying to dog on those guys, but like, there's
you've got to think about the committee, though.
There's a big difference between those guys and Stevenson. But again, I mean, four fumbles in four games. It's just, and again, and I feel like KJ, and I'm curious to your thoughts on this. What Mayo does here, it's not the be-all, end-all, but it does start to set a precedent, right? Like, if he lets this slide, or he doesn't really bench Stevenson, then do other guys, like, does a defensive back think, well, hey, if I get burned on a couple long touchdowns, it's okay. I won't get benched. There'll be no consequences. So, you know, and I'm not saying they won't try, but is there a slight loss of focus or a slight loss of intensity because this precedent, and that's, again, part of being a rookie head coach. Everything you do sets a precedent. So I wonder if that's maybe part of this tough spot they're in right now, too.
So remember, we've talked about in terms of with Mayo, I think we had a pretty intense, I don't want to say intense, but a very lively discussion last night towards the end of last night's show. If you missed it, the Odyssey app is free. Just,
yeah, it got me wide awake from my ride home.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a long ride home.
Yeah, pause. Look, remember I said that Gerard Mayo can say the things that he wants to say as long as he's consistent with what he's saying to the team? This is one of those situations where you can't come out and say, yeah, it's a real possibility that Gibson gets the start and then that not be into fruition. It doesn't mean that Ramondre Stevenson doesn't get into the game or is completely benched. But if you don't see Gibson within that, in that first series, then you'd almost have to say, hey, man, this is what goes to what you're saying. Here you have a clear problem with your running back holding on to the ball four times. There's only been four games. And if he goes out there and gets a start, now you start to ask the questions. Did someone go over Mayo's head? Did Mayo want to bench him? And someone else came in and said no. did. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
now
no, I think you make a good point. And this is also where, like, oh, hey, a lot of people like that Mayo is, you know, more open with the media and stuff. And I think there's merit to that. But now this is one of those things that I've been talking about, that when you say something like that publicly, you kind of have to follow through, right? And also,
I think it's even more pointed than the Drake May competing, because at least you know he's the rookie and he's not out there.
Sure.
He hasn't made mistakes. Your star running back, who is the star offensive player for you in a non-offensive situation, has a fumbling problem.
Yeah, like the chief part of his job.
Right.
And look, I think the issue here is, again, you really have to follow through once you say something like that, and you should anyway. But
especially like that.
Now it creates a little bit of an extra distraction, because now what are guys going to get asked about? Well, Gerard Mayo said he might bench Antonio Gibson. What do you think? And what do you think? And what do you think? So now it's a little extra distraction. So now Mayo, really, the rest of this week going into this game, he has to handle this just right, because he's put it out there. And again, a lot of people are happy he's more open with the media, and I think there's some merit to that for sure. But now he's put it out there. So once you put it out there, it is going to be a story. It is going to be something a lot of players think about. So he's got to get this one right. And I think the way to do it is you got to follow through, and you got to sit the guy down at least for a little bit.
Well, I think the other way you follow through is in the reps since what you've said, since you've made that statement. Okay, those who are covering the team are at practice. Okay, are we seeing Gibson in there more with the first team?
That's another way.
Because if you're not seeing that, then the question is going to be, how can you make that statement, but yet the guy who may be the starter doesn't see an increase in reps? So this is where I say, yeah, you challenge Mayo on this, because we see what the problem is. This isn't somebody new. And in fact, they are now falling into the category of error repeater. Because think about it. If this was, you know what the equivalent of this would have been last year? If Mac Jones kept throwing interceptions, that's what Ramondre Stevenson
did. And after a while, what happened? He got benched and he didn't play the rest.
You have to.
Yeah.
Like, you have to.
Like, and it's, and I know he's your best player, and I know he's been a great player for the last few years, but the chief part of your job as a running back is to hold on to the ball.
Right.
Like, and that's, and again, I don't know, it could be an injury thing, it could be a focus thing, it could have been just a little bad luck, but when it's four times in four games, like, that's a major problem.
All right, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. It's KJ and Lyons. Let's look at the game Sunday. Remember when we were looking at the schedule, like how everything would look at? I said, look, weeks 2 through 7 may end up being very painful for the fan base. And what are we in week 4? We're feeling it already.
Yeah, like, I get the sense there's some pain. I know as a Patriots fan myself, I've had some pain.
Right. So, but this is one of those situations that we thought would be part of the pain with Miami, but now you say, okay, this should be a game where the Patriots should say, we should be able to punch our way in this game and fight to get a win, especially after, like, Miami has to be thoroughly embarrassed what happened Monday night, losing to Tennessee after Will Levis, who's already been bad, goes down, and Mason Rudolph comes in and finishes you off. Like, talk about going last in the boot cake, you know, but I say it won't. But I mean, that's really what you're looking at. It's like, oh my gosh, you have to be able to do what Tennessee was at least able to do, and Tennessee didn't have to do much.
And I think if you're the Patriots right now, I don't think there is a better spot to catch Miami than this coming Sunday, right? So they just got, and sometimes when a team gets embarrassed, they bounce back and they respond and play well. But we're talking a team that got embarrassed. They're on a short week, and they're on their third-string quarterback. So there's a lot of problems. Remember Tyreek Hill on the sidelines, you know, yelling near Mike McDaniel? Like, that's not a good look right there. Defensively,
Mike McDaniel's hair, Jerry curl is going to dry up pretty soon.
Yeah, and like defensively, I mean, I know they have some good numbers, but you did just get beat by the combination of Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. Like, that, to me, that doesn't look good. There's just, again, a lot of questions there. This is, again, if you're going to catch Miami, this is the time to get him, because as great as Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are, they've essentially been, a non-factor since week one against Jacksonville? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but really since then they've been basically a non-factor. And that was one 80-yard catch by Hill in week one. Other than that, these guys have been almost non-factors. Like, this, to me, this is a very winnable game. Patriots have been awful the last 2 weeks, and this is still a very winnable game.
Think about how bad the conversation has been. David Andrews out for the season. Wheatley out. All these different bad news. Ramondre Stevenson fumbling. Quarterback getting smashed. No offensive line. No left tackle. Your center's gone. Patriots favored by one on the Vegas money line. Is that not crazy?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like,
the Patriots are favored this week.
This is a rare time this season. I don't think it's that crazy, but it's more about Miami. And in fairness to the Patriots, they've only played one home game, and they went to overtime against Seattle, so they did play well enough at home.
Enough in that one.
They were representative, I guess, at home. I mean, they made some key mistakes. But, yeah, I just think this is a lot about Miami. It's just in a bad spot. They're not moving the ball well on offense. There's tension on the sidelines there. And also, Mike McDaniel, like, he's this great offensive play designer and schemer and this and that, but, okay, your quarterback goes down. Does it feel like, KJ, they've adjusted well to that?
No, like, not at all.
That's part of being a good head coach, right? Hey, my quarterback went down that I've invested in. Yeah, it sucks, but let's adjust to it. Or like Vic Fangio leaves after last year to go be the defensive coordinator of the Eagles. So let's adjust, change things up, maybe change a little bit of what we're doing. It just feels like this team in Miami has not adjusted, especially since that Tua injury. And again, I'm not saying Mike McDaniel's a bad coach and should be fired, but part of being a good coach is when something like that happens.
Handling adversity.
Yeah, you got to be able to adjust and you got to play well. I mean, look, Tennessee, I know they have L'Jarius Sneed and they drafted, I think, what, Byron Young up front?
I wouldn't even talk about Tennessee because they're bad.
They're a bad team and they went in and beat Miami, right? Like on the road, they went in and beat Miami. And I think outside of four players, I think Tennessee's a really bad team.
John, the point total is 36.5, meaning...
Well, Miami has the one worst offense than you. They're scoring 11 points a game.
So look, a game that's 18-17 gets you the under. So a 17-10 game is a real... A 10-7 game is a real possibility. 14-7 is a real possibility. And this is what's even crazier. So at the beginning of the year, I was like, hey, if you want to find a chance to get maybe some plus money on betting on the Patriots, maybe look at them at over 5.5 wins. It would get you into plus money. It's now minus money, near even money at over 5.5 wins. They believe the Patriots could win 6 games. Really, you almost have to tie it directly to how bad the Dolphins are, and it's probably believed that Tua's not coming back this year.
And we talked about this before the season. This is the nature of every NFL year. Look, no one expected Miami would look this bad, and I know they don't have Tua, but look at how bad Tennessee's looked. There was a lot of people that didn't
They would be bad.
And I thought they would be bad, too, but I think there were people that thought, hey, maybe they'll be middle of the pack or
Jacksonville.
Whatever. I mean, they look awful. Look at how bad Jacksonville has looked. So this happens every year. There's teams that... I mean, I know Cincinnati traditionally starts slow, but they're what, 1-3? They look
not this
awful.
Slow, right? Like, you're not supposed to be this slow.
Right. So I think this happens every year. There's always a few teams that either look worse than we thought, look better than we thought. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the Colts? Anthony Richardson, if he's out, what if Joe Flacco comes in and does what he did last year, taking Cleveland to the playoffs, and he's good? So this happens every year. That's why when they went in 4.5 as the win total, I think, was in August we were talking.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I like 5, maybe 6. Because, again, I know the Patriots are a bad team, especially offensively. But you just look at what has happened in Miami. You didn't see that coming in Jacksonville. I mean, the Patriots might get to a London game, and Jacksonville might be, what, 0-5 going into that? 0-6 going into that game?
Yeah,
like,
I think they'll win this.
And I think they will, too. But point being, like, that's on the table.
Right.
I don't think we expected that going into the year.
You think there's a Mac Jones controversy? Stick him in the toilet.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Did you see him get strip-sacked at Buffalo?
Oh,
the other day?
My God.
You could have seen that coming 2 miles away.
It was almost kind of like, bro, when you take pictures with the Maserati or whatever fancy car it was, you take those pictures, and then that happens on the field. That's exactly why I made fun of the dude when he was doing the gritty on a blown dead play at the Pro Bowl. But Mac is no longer here. There's no longer reason to touch that third rail with him. But I do think, though, that if the Patriots can't win this weekend in this particular situation, at home and flip it, at the coin toss, Miami might choose who the quarterback is. You know,
and
like
Miami's on a short week,
right? Heads or tails, it's gonna be Skylar Thompson. That's who's going in. So, look, if the Patriots can't get it done this week, this is when the noise should be the loudest about anything, and especially Jerod Mayo. Because you have to have no sympathy on the opponents that come in that are clearly weakened. Think about it. If Jacoby Brissett was on the other side of this field, I would say, you know what? I would still be kind of worried. You get Tyreek Hill on the slant. You know,
yeah.
You catch
him. I agree. Yeah.
You don't even feel like any of these guys can get from under. You don't even feel like they can get to their third step drop without going, what do I do with the ball, Shaggy? So that's one of those situations where, hey, you've got to win this game at home or you might just lose any vestige of, like, I don't even think the Drake May conversation even becomes anything anymore to be like, you know what, throw it all damn away.
And this is another thing, right? You have a rookie head coach, rookie coordinators. If you can win this game and then you're 2-3 after five games, it's not great. And I know you've played bad against the Jets in San Francisco, but if you can show, hey, we open the season with a good win. Then
that
after,
you didn't expect, right?
Right. Then after a couple bad games, we're able to fix things and bounce back and win. Then it helps with the buy-in of, and we talked earlier in the show about the culture you're trying to build. It helps a lot with that if you win this game. But if you lose this game, then guys might start looking around and saying, man, you fired Bill, you traded Mac, and we're worse.
But like this is also why you might mention that, hey, Antonio Gibson might be the starting running back.
Yep.
Because you realize what is on the table. I mean, just imagine if Ramon, and I don't want to imagine it because it could still potentially happen, but if Ramondre Stevenson is still having ball control issues and then giving this bad offense of Miami a short field, I mean, hell, at what point do you just say, you know what, Tyreek Hill could probably just stand back there and run four plays of the Wildcat each series just to get them down the field if you give him a short field? So that's why the error repeating going on at the running back position with Ramondre Stevenson has to be nipped in the bud now, because if it shows up this week, one, it would be five games in a row, and two, it would be in a situation where this was an absolute opportunity to beat a team that we did. I don't want to say they didn't think they could beat, but most people didn't think when you put out the schedule at the start of the year. Miami was one of those teams that was going to be in an argument to potentially win the AFC East and potentially make a run in the playoffs. That's not on the table anymore. So if you've got that, you show no mercy. It's like the little brother on the game system. Man, not only do you skunk him, but then you smack the control out of his hand and say, you can't play for 3 days. That's the approach you want to have.
And I also think, too, like if you win this game with Stevenson either not playing or playing little, I mentioned the buy-in factor, then guys are going to look at it and say, oh, well, we can bench somebody for messing up, but we have a good enough program. You know, we can still win a game.
Next man up.
Right, exactly. Where if you lose that game, then they're like, man, if we had Ramondre, we would have won. Or, hey, man, there, why are we benching? Where, and again, that's part of being a rookie head coach, right? You're setting precedents. So I think it's an important piece for the buy-in. This is like, again, they're not a playoff team. We might not look back at this game as being a major part of the Jerod Mayo legacy, but this is an important kind of step. If you can get guys to bounce back after two bad weeks, win a game, then it really helps with some buy-in as you have another, you know, difficult game coming up against Houston the week after.
All right, KJ and Lyons next. We look at NFL players. Are they spicy hot or are they pumpkin spice latte soft as we are now here in October? That's next here on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out. John, I should tell you the stories of when Puffy first introduced Big and Craig Mack and was on promotional tour stuff. But now my ass don't want to be called into a federal court because stuff that I saw back in those days. KJ Lyons. WEEI, thank you so much for hanging with us this evening. Yeah, you know, John, it's kind of unfortunate, but you saw it coming. Like, you've been getting all these warnings like, hey, be on alert, man. A lot of fake stuff is going to really be propagated on social media and your feed. Did you think it? I thought it would be dealing with politics mostly. That's in there. But now it's like about everything. Like, here's, like, let's say I put a post up and I say, John, I like pizza. Pizza is one of my favorites. There is a very good chance that I get a response that says, you were probably given the pizza, you never earned the pizza, and somebody else should be in that spot of the pizza that you had. Like, that's where, like, that's why you, like, when I tweet, it's about what we're doing here. I might be watching the game. But if you ever find yourself getting in any type of conversation about anything, it goes so left that it's just really stupid now.
Yeah, I agree. I think over the last through 2 or 3 years, like, Twitter has gone way down, and I know it's called X now, but like there's just so many more spam accounts, like so many more people like just posting like angry stuff all the time.
I'm deleting bots like every day.
I bet you we're going to look back in 30 or 40 years and say, hey, that whole social media thing, and I'm talking all of them, probably a net negative for society. Like, there's good things about it, you know, connecting with people and reconnecting with people, sure. But I feel like we as a society, less empathetic and more angry than we were 15, 20, 25 years ago. Not the only reason, but it's part of it.
I can see the headline, and it's going to be like a Netflix special, if Netflix is still like that big of a thing. And it's going to be a documentary called Don't We All Miss Tom? You remember the MySpace guy.
Like, he was my friend.
He was everybody's friend. And
he was
once
Zach's best friend.
Pause.
Definitely remember MySpace.
So look, it's one of those situations where once he sold MySpace and Facebook became the thing, it feels like it all spiraled, right? Like, now for some people, Facebook is like, oh my God, like, my mom and my aunts are on Facebook and they're talking about stuff. But now even LinkedIn is starting to get hijacked. It's like, damn, like, isn't this area where you're supposed to talk about jobs and
LinkedIn's supposed to be the boring one. Like, it's supposed to be. That's the point.
It's almost kind of like, wow, you know, looking for work. Well, under this economy, everybody should be looking for work because it's like, good gracious.
Oh, I know, it's brutal.
KJ and Lions, we are here to just bring some type of levity. We don't take ourselves super seriously. We bring the facts. We bring
Except
the entertainment.
When we talk about the Celtics, then we take ourselves very seriously.
Well, you kind of become a little Rogaine charge there, if you will. Your hair stands up.
Can you believe that, Zach? Can you believe that? You know what? I
disgusting behavior.
Didn't I say recently I need to go talk to Dr. Robert Leonard? And now KJ's making Rogaine.
I know.
Jokes.
I have. Look. Trust me, as a guy who actively shaves off all of his hair all the time, I take pride in it. Because it's like a slick way to like get a woman to rub my head. Be like, oh, like, how do you get your hair that smooth? I'm trying to get my husband to do it. I'm like, yeah, do the left side again. That's kind of the more sense. I'm totally kidding. I'm not like that
guy. It doesn't sound like you're kidding.
In my dreams, I watch too many movies. I don't know what category that would be. I was like,
Dr. Robert bald. Leonard, if you're listening, give me a call.
Bald, right?
Give me a call.
37937. We're 1 minute away from spicy hot or pumpkin spice soft. What you got, Zach?
Alrighty, going back to benching or potentially benching Ramondre Stevenson for the fumbling problem. By not benching him, you're telling the rest of the running backs that you don't trust them to have the ball.
Yeah, that's very true.
And that's a side piece of this, but I think that's a fair point. Yeah, I agree.
Like, you're not good enough to make those mistakes.
This guy's fumbling every game and he's still better than you.
Like, he's doing it every game, but we feel like you might do it twice a game. So that's why this guy's in there. If that's the case, sell them all. Like, if you missed any of the show, earlier in the show, we talked about the potential of Davante Adams, and I took it from the Raiders' perspective. I think this is where one of those situations where I think that, hey, if they're interested in Ramondre Stevenson, they can save $20 million on their books. And if you're the Patriots, you have on tape Davante Adams just celebrating poetic that Gerard Mayo, as a black head coach, has been named the head coach of the Patriots and said this in front of Robert Kraft. I would say, you know what? Just pay the 2 years, $28 million per year. It's so much less than what you would have paid if Ayuk came, and the situation's the same. And at least this pro knows, like, at least you know with Davante Adams, you could put him in motion.
Yes. I think that's too steep of a price. Stevenson and a pick is too much for me. But yeah, at least Adams, you know, a
okay,
defense
so let
has
me,
to
let,
worry
let me,
about.
Let me ask you, what is an ideal price? Give me an ideal.
For me, an ideal price is the Patriots' own third round pick.
I'm talking about what you pay out of pocket for a wide receiver to be here and to be the star receiver.
It depends on the guy. But if it's like a legit number, like if it's next offseason and it's DK Metcalf or Deebo Samuel, I would pay a future first for a guy like that.
I'm talking about real money. I'm not talking about with trade.
Cash?
Yeah, what's the cash number?
For a legit number one. It's probably 20. Because they're all like about 30 now, right? Isn't Justin Jefferson 34?
He's 35. So I'm just trying to figure out what do you pay?
Yeah.
Because that would probably determine, like, if you think they shouldn't spend really more than like $22 million.
No, I think you have to pay more than, unless you have like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and you can get away with, you know, fewer money or less money on receivers, you kinda have to pay 28 to 30 to 32 for a guy like that.
Right. So if that's the case, then might as well pay Davante Adams and not be the one that pays him for his next deal. I mean, right now, even though he's the second highest second highest in the value of contract. Well, it's tied for first. His deal is up in 2 years. Justin Jefferson is up in 4 years. So if you're like, look, we get you for 25 and 26. Through 26, and 25 will let you know, hey, look, we're going to go in another way, but we thank you so much for helping build this culture here. Unless he wants to stay for the discount, because guess what the Patriots have known to do? Offer the hometown discount. You want to move that to bonus? You ever heard that one before?
Yeah, and again, I like the player a lot, and I'd be happy to have him. I just don't want to, and the money thing doesn't even bother me as much. I just don't want to give up too much cap, like draft capital and whatnot, to get him, because I worry about that timeline lining up. Like, what if it is 2 years and Adams is 34 and his skills start to diminish, or he wants to leave, and it's like, then you're finally ready to be good and he's not part of it anymore.
Well, I think that's why you just do the 2 year flyer, because like at what you're seeing right now from Ramondre Stevenson, are you ready to see that for three or four more years?
Look, I know we're down on Stevenson right now, but I think, look, he's mid-20s. He can be part of your team for the next three or four years.
The hands are looking like they're 85.
Yeah, no, they are. Like, I know we're down on him right now. I get it, but I also don't want to just sell low on him because he's had a bad month either.
Well, but he's also an advantageous price right now at $9 million. That's not a lot, considering...
Yeah. It'll be an even more advantageous price as the cap goes up, which right. I guess you could say the same thing for Adams, right?
Right.
The next couple of years, sure.
Right, and plus Saquon Barkley resetting the market and stuff like that. So, I mean, if I'm the Raiders, I'm like, so... We could deal with a couple fumbles here at Las Vegas. Fumbles happen all the time.
Yeah.
And because they really need, because they need to lean on the running game there, right? Like, they don't have.
Yeah, they don't know what their quarterback is.
So when you don't know what your quarterback situation is and you don't have anybody, remember at the beginning of the season, it was like, it was either Gardner Minshew or the backup, was going to be their quarterback. So you need to have a dual running situation there. And what can you really do for Davante Adams? Even what can they do for Brock Bowers right now as a tight end, other than just like do some effective blocking? I'll tell you what, John, we'll start off 9 p.m. We're going against the grain here, and we will start off 9 p.m. with spicy hot or pumpkin spice soft. NFL players after 4 weeks, we're going to let them have it next here on WEEI.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.